Välkommen till Hästveterinärerna, en podcast från Boehringer Ingelheim Animal Health. I den här podden samtalar vi med specialister från olika områden inom hästmedicinen. Med det gemensamt att de delar vår och din passion för hästarna. Hej och välkommen tillbaka till Hästveterinärerna, podden för dig som är veterinär eller djursjukskötare och jobbar med hästar. Jag heter Maria Willemsson. Våren är här och det betyder för de flesta av oss födelsesäsong. I de kommande två avsnitten har vi därför bjudit in Anna Bolin som är diplomat i internmedicin för häst och ansvarig för vårdavdelningen och därmed också fölavdelningen på Evidensia specialisthästsjukhuset i Helsingborg. I detta avsnitt berättar hon om sitt arbete med fölen och lite om de vanligaste åkommorna som de råkar ut för. Vi går också in på några av de viktigaste skillnaderna mellan yngre och äldre föl och mellan föl och vuxna hästar.
Welcome to the podcast, Anna.
Thank you.
So tell us a bit about yourself and your background.
Well, I am sort of a horsey person. I grew up with horses and I always wanted to become a vet. And I studied in Denmark and I worked alongside my studies at the Equine Hospital in Helsingborg, as it is quite near Denmark and Copenhagen. And when I graduated, I worked for a couple of months at the Distriktsveterinärerna and then came back to the hospital in Helsingborg, where I have worked for almost 10 years now. So I was offered a residency in 2016 in internal medicine. And as being a medicine person is also being the one in charge of the foal department, I was very glad for that opportunity. So I did my residency and I passed the exam and became a diplomat in 2020, so just before the pandemic. And since then, I have been in charge of our medicine department and our foal stable.
And you have some other specialist titles as well, right? You have an RCVS certificate.
Yes, I have done the course called Equine Medicine. It was very good to do alongside the residency. And I think it's very good because it's available for all vets. And it's, it's online. And then I'm also a Swedish specialist, which is more of a broader specialty covering medicine, surgery, reproduction and some orthopedics. So I think that's good basics to have as well.
What about research? You've been publishing some articles and done some research as well as part of your residency, I guess.
Yes, there are some requirements to pass your residency. So I published two papers on foals. So the first one was looking at the foal survival score. We had a population of foals from Sweden and Denmark. And we used a survival score that has been reported from the States and looked at its performance in our population. And the other study was smaller. It was on a couple of cases of Lawsonia intracellularis, so causing diarrhea in weanling foals. And then I've been also involved in a study on SAA in foals.
And you're going to tell us a little bit more about that later.
Yes.
The foal department at the Equine Hospital that you are working at, I'm guessing it's a rather busy department this time of the year. Can you tell us about what you do there, what type of patients you can have and your work there?
So we are very fortunate in having a separate stable for the neonatal foals. So we mainly divide foals with regards to age. So the neonatal foals up to 14 days of age, are admitted to our separate neonatal department where we can have 9 foals. We also have a separate treatment area there. So the mare needs treatment, then she can still be examined in this separate stables. And we've also adjusted a few of these boxes to be able to handle the really sick foals, those that needs to be kept on a mattress with CRIs, maybe blood pressure monitoring, intranasal oxygen and so on. And this time of the year, this area is full of foals with sepsis and sepsis manifestations, such as umbilical infections, septic joints. And we also see quite a lot of foals with colic, mainly from meconium impaction. And with the older foals, we have another stable, seven boxes. They are half outdoor boxes. And in this group of foals, we still see those with localized infections. We also see older foals with colic, and there are also foals with traumatic wounds in the older age group. And of course, we also admit foals with suspected or confirmed contagious disease that needs isolation. And these foals are kept in our normal isolation unit. And these are foals with mainly diarrhea, but also respiratory infections, such as Rhodococcus equi.
So you've been abroad quite a bit and worked with foals in other different countries. How would you say that the treatments and abilities maybe to take care of critically ill foals are different from Sweden and maybe Denmark versus the other countries that you've worked in?
Well, I think insurance definitely makes a difference, as most of our foals have insurance. For many people, it's not possible to risk a big bill and no foal. So that makes a huge difference in Sweden. I've met few insured horses in other countries. Also, the population of horses differs. When I went to Australia, there were mainly thoroughbred foals. They were very much the same size and type of foals. They were, on the other hand, sometimes very valuable, since they don't do AI. There are very few of these really well-bred foals. So in these instances, they were willing to spend a lot of money as well on selected cases. We see more sort of leisure horses. We see some standard breds, but mainly we see Swedish Warmbloods. But we also see a variety of other breeds, such as miniature Shetland ponies and Shire horses. So I think we see a broad spectrum of breeds, and I think that's very fun, actually. And with regards to treatment, I think we probably do very much the same, but there are some places in the world that offers more advanced treatment than we do, so mainly mechanical ventilation. And we think this would probably be too expensive for most of our clients. You would need a person to sit there and monitor this all the time, and probably only a handful of foals would actually benefit from it.
Yeah, because you've been in UK, Australia, Denmark and Sweden mainly, right?
Yes.
So what about the standard of care? Is that sort of equal?
I think probably it varies within the country as well. In Australia, I visited Scone, and that's that hospital is very well known for its foal care. So they were very specialized on foals there, but still they didn't ventilate their foals either. That's the thing also with the thoroughbreds, that they are usually bred to be able to perform, and they didn't treat the very small foals or the foals with very poor prognosis for being an athlete.
So what about the differences when it comes to the grown-up horses versus the foals? There are many, obviously, but the main ones, what would you say they are?
I would say the foals are usually a bit more challenging because they often have multiple diseases that coexist. And usually they start with one disease and then you have all the complications. And I also think that status can change very rapidly with foals, both for the better and for the worse. So they are definitely more unpredictable. But I think On the other hand, compared to adult horses, we can treat much sicker foals. I mean, they can tolerate being recumbent for a couple of days. It's not detrimental to a foal as it is in an adult. And also, there are some differences in what medications we can use. There are some that are better tolerated by foals. A few antimicrobials can only be used in foals. And also some costly medications can be used in the foal because of their, obviously low body weight compared to the adult. So usually cost is less for medications, but cost for personnel is usually greater. You need you need more of that with the foals.
So say the last 10, 15 years, how has the care or the hospital care in particular changed when it comes to foals? Can you save more foals today than 10, 15 years ago? Or can you treat them more advanced? Or
Well, there is actually a nice paper from Florida looking at survival of sick foals through the decades. And these results are encouraging. So survival was around 58% in the 80s, it was 69% in the 90s, and now 81% in 2000. And in the paper on prognosis that I mentioned, we looked at this Swedish-Danish population of foals. Most were from our hospital, and the survival here was overall 83%. So I think we do better. But I also think it's important to remember that not sure we should aim for 100% either, because we want horses to be able to live a horse life. And for some diseases, that's not possible. And say, for example, the premature foal with very poor ossification, I don't think we should save them to every price, because usually when you treat those foals and you get them through, when they stand up, their small bones in the carpus and tarsus will collapse, and they will have probably chronic lameness throughout their life. So I think it's also important that we are fair with what we try to save, and also that we respect the owner. What is their intent with the foal? If it's bred for racing and prognosis for that is poor, then maybe not put all the resources into this foal, but save them for another one. And on the other hand, there is also the breeder with the old mare. She's not going to have more foals. This is the last one. Maybe it's a filly foal. And then maybe it's worth doing a bit more here. And otherwise, for us in Helsingborg, we have a CT since, I don't know how many years back now, but quite some years, and it's made a huge difference with these difficult to localize infections. Because when you can find them in, say, the pelvis or the vertebrae, you can actually treat these infections if you know where they are and you can see the extent of them. We also have in-house blood culture since a couple of years back, and I think that's also made a difference, because then you can, within 6 hours, you know that there is bacterial growth and you can see what type it is and so on. So you can adjust your treatment more rapidly.
And that's very interesting. And as you say, I mean, some of the foals, if they are not going to make it to be able to perform the way that they are intended to, then that's maybe nothing to sort of save, to be harsh. But how is it with the percentage of foals that both recover and will sort of fulfill their athletic expectations when they grow up?
Well, it really depends on the disease you're looking at, but these studies have definitely been done for many of the common things we see in foals. And of course, in general, a foal that has been a very sick sepsis foal, will do a little worse compared to a healthy one. Also, a foal with that is less ossified when you radiograph it will have a decreased chance of being an athlete. But in most instances, still a few will race and will do it good. And I also think it's important to remember that, say for racing, also among healthy foals, probably only 2 out of 3 will eventually race, because things will happen during the first 2 years of life. And for me, I wouldn't be too worried about the foal having surgery for, say, an umbilical infection. I think it will do fine as an athlete. And also, surprisingly, I think they tend to heal their lungs very well, even if they've had quite severe pneumonia. It seems they do well also in racing. Probably also foals treated for severe diarrhea will perform as expected, though we don't know what we do with their intestinal microbiome. Hopefully that's something we will learn a bit more about in the future. But say for the septic joints, so septic arthritis, that's usually the thing you discuss. And we did a study on foals treated at our hospital by my colleague Linda Wright. And in this group of foals, we had a survival to discharge of about 80%. And then 67% did well long term. So that was between 6 months and 6 years. And of those that sort of fell away between the discharge and the long term follow up, about half had been euthanized due to something related to the septic joint. So still you lost some for other reasons. So it's important that you look at this also. So of those surviving long term, 92% were athletically sound, though still young horses. So if you go back looking at the original, I think there were 60 foals. So 62% of them survived and were sound. But then remember, not 100% of the healthy foals will be either. So it's always about taking a little risk.
In your department, or in your foal department at your hospital, you have, of course, in this time of year, or March, April, May, you will mainly have newborn foals or very young foals. And then throughout summer, they, of course, the patients will also be older. How are neonatal or very young foals different from older foals when it comes to which diseases or injuries they have, and maybe a bit how you treat them as well?
Yeah, so with the very young foals, of course, a big group of these are septic foals with its various presentations. Those that are really sick and need intensive care for septic shock are mainly the ones less than a week old. The presentations such as septic joints and umbilical infections, pneumonia, diarrhea, we see that also in the slightly older foals. Of course, in the young foals, we also see a lot of non-infectious diseases such as meconium impactions. That's obviously the first days of life. Neonatal encephalopathy and also various other orthopedic problems. You can have patella luxations, you can have carpal contractures, and so on. So a lot of that also, usually when they end up at our hospital for orthopedic problems, they have difficulties standing up. So they need quite a bit of help. And of course, there is also each season a handful of foals with congenital malformations, such as a cleft palate or atresia of an intestinal segment. And then we also see a few of these quite uncommon problems for the practitioner in the field, but they are admitted to us. So we see neonatal isoerythrolysis and urinary bladder ruptures, for example, in these younger foals. So then When foals are around 2 to 3 months of age, we know that the maternal antibodies sort of are declining and the endogenous production is still quite low. So this is also a susceptible period. We see a lot of foals with mainly pneumonia and diarrhea in this age group. Quite a lot of Rhodococcus equi. I think it varies from year to year, but we see a lot of quite severe Rhodococcus equi problems. And sometimes it's not only pneumonia. They can have extra respiratory presentations as well. And in these slightly older foals, we also see a bit more unspecific colic. Probably a lot of them are just constipated, but we also see quite a lot of parasitic disease, and we see and suspect gastric ulcers in some of them also. And then I think also the traumatic wounds are more prevalent in this age group.
You mentioned gastric ulcers then. What about gastric ulcers in foals? How common is that in the different age groups?
So prevalence very much vary in different studies. And I think in total, it's less well studied compared to adults. But we do know that we have many risk factors in foals, illness, management changes around weaning, treatment with NSAIDs and so on. So we do treat a lot prophylactically against gastric ulcers. And I think a problem is I'm quite reluctant to starve a foal. And gastroscopy can be a bit challenging because you need to reach the stomach with your endoscope. So in the slightly older foal, it needs to be long enough. And the gastroscope you use for adults is quite a thick one. So it's really difficult to fit that into a very small foal nose. That's quite traumatic. And so I think you end up a lot with treating what you think is a gastric ulcer. But we do know, we have some important facts. There was this recent study that looked at the pH in the stomach of sick hospitalized foals. These were young foals. And pH was above 4 most of the time in these foals. So it didn't seem like acid was there a problem. So usually we talk about perfusion being the main issue. So at our hospital, we don't treat very small foals with omeprazole, but we treat older foals with omeprazole at the same dose as the adults. So in the young foals, we use more sucralfate with the thought that we are protecting the glandular mucosa.
As a prophylactic treatment then?
Yes, that would be prophylactic. And of course, we also think that the foals presenting with diarrhea have a bigger risk of developing gastric ulcers. And in these cases, if they are older, we would treat them probably with both sucralfate and omeprazole. And I think also the worry here is that foals can get really, really sick from their gastric ulcers. They can get pyloric stenosis. So that's from having probably chronic gastric ulcers, and then the healing causes stenosis. And that's very, very difficult to treat. There are some surgical options to bypass, but that's rarely done. And I've seen very few of these cases, but the ones you've seen is it's really, really tough with these cases because they are quite healthy foals, but they just reflux. Nothing passes that tiny hole in the pylorus, and there is very little you can do at that stage. You would have wanted to treat them earlier. And then also you can have perforating gastroduodenal ulcers, also well described. I've only seen probably one or two of these. So I think both of these severe complications to gastric ulcers is also in our population, but they are very rare. And I think it's probably because we have very few places where foals are intensively bred. It seems to be more in these very big studs. And we see more foals bred. There's an owner with one or a couple of foals. There are some bigger places as well, but usually they have a lot of land. Foals are outside in groups and they have a good life there as well.
Yeah, you mentioned the treatment, but how would it be different then from foals compared to adults? You mentioned that the older foals, you give omeprazole the same dose as the adults. Is it also the same length and the same sort of management measures, or how do you think there?
Yeah, when you talk about it, you definitely think that, hey, we should do more gastroscopy in foals, because obviously that's the way to tell how long we treat. I mean, treatment length is very different in adults, depending on follow-up gastroscopy. But usually I would treat probably 3 weeks, and then do some sort of a follow-up also. Is the foal otherwise doing well? Is it growing? Does it look healthy otherwise? And then probably go from there.
You mentioned the parasites as well when it comes to the older foals. What is important here when it comes to parasite treatment, and what to think of when it comes to these foals?
Well, I think it's important to remember that you're not going to have eggs in the feces if parasites aren't reaching adult stages. So they can still have parasite problems even if your fecal egg count shows you nothing. So you sort of need to think about the likelihood of infection. And I think here in Sweden we are nicely told and educated that we should have fecal egg counts before we prescribe anything, but that's different in the foal. We have some brand new recommendations for deworming here in Sweden. They just came out like a month ago, and foals are included in this document. So the recommendation, which I think is very good, is to treat foals when they are approximately 8 and 16 weeks with fenbendazole, so that's for Parascaris, and then also treat for cyathostomins in the autumn with, usually ivermectin. And then if you have other parasitic problems, such as tapeworm in other horses, then you can definitely deworm the foal for that as well. But that's the thing, you don't need fecal egg counts in these for these younger foals. But then later on in January, February, it's nice to do a fecal egg count and see, because at this age you can have either Parascaris still, or you can have cyathostomins, or you have both. So in the perfect world you would do an egg count there, and then probably one in the spring as well, so that you can adjust. And then usually the young horse needs more deworming than the adult, obviously. They're more sensitive to parasitic infections. And I could maybe also mention Strongyloides westeri. That's the parasite that they can get from the mare through the milk. And it is an old thing among breeders that you deworm the mare for that during the first day. And there is very little evidence that this parasite causes clinical disease. There are some cases described, and I think we have seen a handful of them probably also, but they are very, very, very rare. So I don't think that gives any meaning with the evidence that we have currently.
Thank you, Anna, for this session. We will be back in the next episode to talk more about pain and also sepsis in foals.
Tack för att du lyssnar på Hästveterinärerna. Om du gillar det du hör, glöm inte att trycka prenumerera i din podcast-app så att du inte missar några avsnitt. Berätta också gärna om vad du tycker genom att ge en recension. Vi tar gärna emot tips på kommande gäster och ämnen, och våra kontaktuppgifter finns i poddens beskrivning.